So we also received one, but unfortunately I didn't get time to go through it. The second one is from the department, I think. But I think we still got time whereby we'll be able to go through it so that we'll be able to apply our mind as members of the community. Maybe before I allow the department to highlight some of the issues that were raised in last week's public hearing, I would like to welcome everyone who's here. A special welcome and compliment wishes to Medi Sedelo and Peter. We missed you last week. We are happy that you're here this week. Hoping that you will make a valuable contribution to this one, having been told through the discussion papers, the suggestions that were made by different stakeholders. I'll now give over to the department, hoping that now they are from a very restful weekend, hope they've rested. But there's one only member of mine deployed to my committee who said didn't rest. the legal advisor. She didn't rest over the weekend. And you too. You didn't. Sorry, let's continue. It's not helping. I know you in the department you used to sleep at 3 a.m. They're still doing that. Even you're not pushed by anyone. Okay. I think you need counseling, you're abused. Even the nobody in front of you still wants to sleep at 3 o'clock. I'll give over to you to highlight some of the issues that you're raising.
Chairperson, we had to sleep late because we wanted to be ready for you so that we could, be ready so that we explain our position and we outline exactly where we are willing to, concede, because the public comments we received last week, there were a lot of valuable comments. We received a number of comments for the first time from certain stakeholders. Certain stakeholders we've been engaging with over time, like the municipalities, Info, even Race Watch and some others. So we had an idea about what their positions were, but we got some new submissions, the ones on mining, for example, and a few others, which the stakeholders we had never engaged with before. We were receiving those comments for the very first time, and for us, those are very valuable. They gave us insights, and some of those comments actually helped us to reconsider certain positions, and we'll tell you today why that is. That is what's contained in this specific document. Now, I'm not sure what the approach is, but I'm not going to take you through the document. I'm just going to tell you the approach we took on this document. What we did is we didn't consider each specific comment in terms of writing it in this document. There were a lot of similarities throughout. A lot of people made comments on the same thing, and they made similar comments on the same thing. So the approach we took was to collate everything into themes. That you'll see very high level and important themes that came through the public submissions, and we put together we gave an indication of what the issues that were raised in that regard were, and what the department's thinking around that specific clause or amendment is, and then we give an indication of what we think the committee should do in terms of considering that. We give advice, so to speak, to the committee. You'll see there are areas where we say proposal to the portfolio committee. There we're basically giving an indication to the committee of how we think they should consider this. In certain areas, as I said, we do revise our position, and we will, in that specific area, give motivation around why we think certain things should change. And where we don't think things will change, we've also given a full motivation in here to advise the committee. So this document is drafted in a manner that can allow the committee to actually debate the issues as well. We've put forward all of the issues relating to all of those specific comments. The most important things are the ones that we've put here. As you'll recall, there were issues around agricultural property, which were raised by quite a number of stakeholders. There were issues around residential property. There were issues around the ratio. There were issues around Section 3.4. You'll recall agriculture was not happy about us removing the provisions of Section 3.4 A and B from the Act. There were also issues around Section 16, which is really about sectors of the economy and how they and the time limit in which they should apply to the minister if they feel that they have been rated contrary to the provisions of the Constitution. Another key area which was commented on was the issue about including a professional associate valuer in the Valuation Appeal Board. As you recall, the Emeritus Member of Parliament made that specific input. There were also comments around the reporting and monitoring provisions that are contained in the bill, and we also outline what we propose to you around that. We also deal with issues around the proposed exclusion of public service infrastructure. You remember that that was quite an important topic that was raised. We do go into discussing those specific issues and we make proposals around that. We also make proposals around, based on comments on the inclusion of the valuation and rating of mining property. You recall a number of stakeholders raised that specific issue as well, some of them quite strongly and quite emotionally on the last day. So that's how we propose to take you through this, Chairperson, if it's in order. Thank you.
There is a short summary on things that have been discussed last week. But the disadvantage of this document, we haven't gone through it. That's part of the advantage. Can I be advisor to Peter?
Well, Chair, I assume the department was going to take us through this document now, and that was just a summary of what they're going to do this morning. But then I wanted to ask as well that clearly this document doesn't address all the concerns that have been raised. I mean, for example, Itigwini raised issues of constitutionality by the autonomy of local government and your infringement of their deemed rights. Now, that's not dealt with in your thing. Could we not have an exercise, perhaps, when this is completed, maybe our researcher could do a trawl through the submissions and find out which areas have been omitted from your response and to make sure we don't leave things out.
Okay. I think Section 8 that had constitutional issues, and I think due to time constraints we could not put it down, but we'll be able to argue it verbally in the committee. So all the other issues that have constitutional bearing on it, they will be addressed.
I was simply giving an example, but just to make sure we don't leave things out.
Yeah.
But it means, since I've already highlighted, we received this document, I've asked that it must be summarized for us on behalf of research unit, but we've been assisted because Andile was had an injury. But hence we have propose that we allow the department to go through this document, then we'll be able to be given an opportunity to go through this, which captured all last week's concerns, contributions from stakeholders. That's where we'll be able, as a portfolio committee, to have a position on each bill. The department, can you then, Veronica, go through the document?
Okay, thank you. The first issue that we dealt with is agricultural property. I see it's also the first issue that was raised by the parliamentary colleague. Basically, in a nutshell, our assessment of all the submissions in this regard pointed to about two things. The first issue, it was that certain submissions showed support for the clause, obviously, as stakeholders such as the agricultural unions obviously supported the provision to add the game farms into the definition of agricultural property. There were submissions that were against this, and they gave quite good reasons, in our view, around why game farming should not be included. Certain other submissions pointed to the fact that they were concerned that ecotourism was not included in the definition of game farming. But our view about ecotourism, firstly, is that currently it is not considered in the definition of agricultural property. So if there's an agricultural property on which there is a lodge and there are ecotourism undertakings taking place, that portion of that property should be considered as a commercial or business entity or business category of property. So on that part, our view is that we retain the status quo on ecotourism. Our view is that with respect to game farming, given the strong feelings around it, we are willing to concede on that specific we are willing to concede on that. Initially, our motivation for including game farming is that we consulted some agricultural economists around whether game farming in terms of operations and in terms of land use is similar to what is termed commercial agricultural undertakings or conventional farming. And the opinion we got was that for fairness, from a fairness perspective, game farming does use similar resources. They have similar input requirements and so forth that an ordinary conventional farmer, such as a cattle farmer, would have. Obviously, there are differences in terms of the production inputs, the production costs, but overall it was felt that there are wide similarities and that there is no cause to differentiate from a fairness perspective. However, we did get submissions in committee from stakeholders specifically focusing on the food security aspect of game farming. It was felt that game farming does not contribute substantially